Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1. Blessed is the person whose reverence is towards the Lord. By this holding a deep respect of, showing awe of, and by honoring God, it is recognizing his holiness, majesty, and authority. It is this respect and love that brings them to a willingness to surrender and obey his commands, his ways, and precepts, all of which bring life and fullness to that individual. It is the Lord God Almighty that that person should look up to, for everything comes from him, is for him, and will in the end honor him. He alone has the power to give life or take it away. He alone may preserve or destroy both body, the physical, and soul, the spiritual. And he alone understands the fullness of eternity and what each of us will entail as we complete the journey that we have set upon called our life. Eternity has no time, no beginning, and no end. It is an extension of who he is. Revelations 22, 12 and 13, Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Going back to Genesis 1, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. But darkness came by the actions of an angel called Lucifer. By his attitude in wanting to be equal or greater than God, he became the father of lies, of deceit. He had followers in heaven, other angels who were influenced by him, and together they and he himself were cast out of heaven down to the earth. This fallen angel then presented himself to Adam and Eve in the garden, and they too were deceived and did not listen to the warning given them from God. And from that one decision, mankind fell under the curse of sin. Sin being every thought, word, or deed contrary to the will of God. And the only way to come out from under its power is to surrender one's life to Jesus, who is the Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior to all who will believe in his name. For there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It is the question of eternity when it arises that brings distress, disagreement, and misunderstandings to the discussions concerning it. There is a general consensus that one has to be good to get into heaven. But nowhere does the Bible, the Word of God, say this. What is said is that the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. It matters not who you are. Without the Spirit of God guiding your journey, you may do something that looks good or feels good, but the stickler is the attitude in which what was done was done. Tithing is an example we're all familiar with. When you give, is it from your heart? Has God spoken to you of an increase in your giving, and yet you hold back? You gave, but why did you give what you gave? You can feel good just knowing that you gave, but what was the real reason you gave what you did? If it was not by the Spirit of God within you leading you, you missed the mark. And it was not for his kingdom, but for your own that you gave. The attitude and the sin of giving matter deeply. Scripture says, There are none who seek the face of God on their own. It is the prompting of the Holy Spirit that brings us to do what we do in the attitude of righteousness. Everything that we do, whether big or small, is a reflection of our attitude towards God. In Romans 3, verses 9 through 12, what then? Are the Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, and together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. There is not now, nor has there ever been, any one person who has not fallen under the curse of sin. Jesus, the one and only Son of God who came down from heaven, could not be tempted to sin, nor was he born under the curse, as his conception and birth were holy in nature. He alone walked the earth sinless, even though he gave his life for sinners. He was nailed to a tree. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, his body shredded, his face beaten beyond recognition, and his blood poured out because of our rebellion towards God. We are born into sin, and we must be taught to be good. There is a life waiting for us, planned for us, and within reach to us, if we would only believe. John 3:15-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes to the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has done had been done through God. There are none who do good, no, not one. Words spoken of all of humanity, because being left to ourselves, we will naturally fall short of God's perfect moral standards. In theological terms, this is called the doctrine of universality of sin. Every individual, regardless of culture or background, stands guilty before a holy God. Only those having surrendered to Jesus will find their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. People can perform acts of kindness or show goodwill in various contexts, but no one can attain perfect righteousness on their own. The measure of good in Scripture is the absolute perfection of God, and no human being meets that standard independently because of the sinful nature of one's heart without Christ. But when surrender comes, with it comes suffering to do good. From BibleHub.com, the concept of suffering for righteousness is a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible, emphasizing the call for believers to endure hardships for the sake of their faith and moral integrity. This call is not merely an acceptance of suffering, but an invitation to participate in the sufferings of Christ, reflecting his life and his mission. And so blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evils against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5:3-12. You will either surrender your life to Christ Jesus, or you will remain an enemy of God. And the enemies of God are characterized by their rebellion, pride, and rejection of his commandments. You were born this way, and without Jesus you will die this way, for there is no other way. There is no other truth that can carry you into eternal rest. Only through the covering of his blood are you delivered from sin. None will remain in the grave. But in being resurrected, yours will be the resurrection to life, to the promise that if you will come, he will take you to be with him where he is. Or it's to the second death, where death cannot claim you again, but leaves you with your eternal misery and pain of wishing that it would. Heaven and hell are set before you. Choose this day whom you will serve. In Matthew 12:37, Jesus says, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus lives, and he has presented to us the path we are to take, revealed the obstacles that we will encounter, and he will reveal in your walk a way of escape so that you do not fall prey to our enemy, the devil. You see, the devil can't make you do anything. But you can fall for his temptations, to which you will give an account for when the day comes. And on that day, each of us will answer for what we said, what we did and what we thought. Blessed are the forgiven, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.